If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and we're going to look at some stuff that I've been running through my mind and my heart. And if you take in, just about everybody here pretty much takes in the Sunday school hour, whether you're streaming on Facebook or Sermons Audio with us, we are getting ready to enter the grace time slot mid, or the dispensation of grace, you might say, or the church age. It's called different things. And one of the first churches we're going to find is the apostolic church. Then it moves through that time. The apostolic's the early part or early church, a lot of it Jewish. And so a lot of denominations today think we're still in the apostolic church. And it's a sad state. I don't mean to make fun of people like that, just reading the Bible and getting under a good teacher and learning actually what the Bible says and how it's laid out. But in Acts chapter 11, we kind of moved on a little bit earlier. It's after Stephen has been stoned. He's the first martyr. The Apostle Paul is just coming on. He has just been converted in Acts chapter 9. Remember, Acts is what we call a transitional book. I'm not going to go too doctrinal, but it'll set some groundwork for you and some foundation. Acts is a transitional book. It goes like from 1 to 100. And so Acts covers a broad array of time and with many different subjects or people in it. And so you're seeing an overview of the church. And I think Dad is actually teaching that class in his series. So you'll begin to see that probably this coming Sunday he'll be into some of that. So we want to kind of prelude some of what is going to be taught Sunday morning, Acts chapter 11. And I want to zero in, though. I'm going to zero in on one church, a couple different people here. And I want to look at a church God blesses. Not that God hasn't blessed our church. I think all of us that's been here for a while have seen God bless Hope Baptist Church. He's also blessed the ministries that the church has started and had worked in. Sometimes it seems daunting, some of those ministries, the work and the people needed, and then the energy put into it, and then direction from the Word of God, direction. So a lot of times you'll see ministries come up and down. They're alive. Yeah, the Bible calls the church a living organism, and so it's something God owns. So we're looking at this church tonight, look at an individual, and we're going to dissect what we call exegetical look at scriptures here. Acts chapter 11, notice with me verse 19, we'll read down to the end, and it says this: Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now I'll stop right here. Dad has been teaching on that. Remember, some of the first people of the first church was just Jewish only. Even Christ himself went to the Jews. Here's another proof text. So this captures your doctrinal setting. All right, so there, he's kind of laying this out as he's saying this, or it's recorded. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come into Antioch, spake unto the Grecians in preaching the Lord Jesus. And not the kingdom of heaven, not the everlasting gospel. They're preaching Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. Notice that, now watch, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now we'll break all these verses down here in a bit. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and we come asking you for eye-opening, Father, from your word. Ask that the word would enter into our hearts and that our minds would be touched by it, that it would move us, and Father, convict us, teach us, instruct us, and exhort us. And Father, we ask that you would suit a blessing to everyone that's come out. Be with our prayer petition. Be with me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just for these few moments here, we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here, dealing with this portion of Acts, there's a lot in it. And a lot of times when When you grab a chapter like this, there's so many different areas you can get into. So we're going to break this down. I want to first look at the church expanding. I want you to notice after the stoning of Stephen, it traveled. This traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, and they were preaching the word to none but only to the Jews only. So it kind of started that way, and it was a fear. Fear had put in because of the persecution and what had happened. And so, for instance, like if they were to stone one of us here at this church, it kind of put some fear in. For instance, if you had a pandemic or a virus, everybody's afraid of getting sick, maybe dying, that would put fear in people and they would scatter. That's what happens. So that's kind of the setting here. And so what had taken place is Stephen had been a martyr. He died for the cause of Christ, and then they began to scatter out and they began to preach the word. But it first went to the Jews. And so we would want to see as the church expanded. Notice with me verses 19, 20, and 21. Now look at verse 20. We've kind of looked at 19 there. And he said they went into Antioch preaching the word to none other but the Jews only. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So we notice that it begins to expand. And we see a passion here in verse 20. It says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. They were not silent about speaking or preaching about the Lord Jesus. And so we see, number one, a passion unfold here, all because the death of Stephen. So he's kind of telling a story here how this unfolds and how it breaks down. And so not only do we see as the church is expanding, we see their passion, these men going to these other places and preaching or teaching the word or speaking of the Lord Jesus is what the verse says there. We see the preaching, because he says there in verse 20, it says preaching the Lord Jesus. Not only maybe teaching or talking about it, but they were preaching. And so you want to identify what they actually were doing. A lot of times people say, well, I don't believe actually in call or really preaching. You could talk about it. Right here, it defines it a little clearer as you look at it. They not only spoke or taught, but they actually were preaching. So we see the inspirational guidance of the Holy Spirit in the preaching, but not only that, but power. Notice with me in verse 21, and I'm moving, I'm watching the clock here just a little quick. I'll slow down here. Verse 21, it says, in the hand of the Lord was with them. So this wasn't done in the power or demonstration of the flesh. This wasn't a thought that somebody had because they were not only just afraid of watching what happened to Stephen or hearing about what happened to Stephen and the other people there with him, but you see that here it says the hand of the Lord was with him. God was in this. And that's why we've even said, even during our time, I'm going to move this now where we're at, the pandemic, the fear, whatever else drives people, even Christians, this is an opportunity to see the hand of the Lord move or work. You say, God would allow something like this to happen and things to happen to that? Maybe not allow, but he's going to work as it unfolds. A lot of times people, especially the world, will think, well, God's got all these strings and he manipulates these little things in the world. No, he knows they happen. He sees it, but he's still able to get victory out of it. He's still able to have his word preached and taught to the people that he wants. So he can work during the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of maybe somebody dying for the cause of Christ. And such was the case here in our text. As we move on, we see the preaching, the passion, and we see the power here. And I'm just stick with P's here. Now let's look at something else, number two. Not only do we see the church expanding, but we see the church enlisting. It enlists people. This is one of the things that we kind of preach and teach here. It's kind of hard when, you know, everybody's kind of spread out a little bit. But we're going to enlist. That's the whole theme. One of the themes for the church is to enlist people. Notice how this develops. Look with me in verse 22. It says, then tidings, watch this, of these things came unto the ears of the church. Now, this church here, watch our context because it's going to use two different phrases. This is like a sidebar. The church here is a physical body. You'll run across maybe a brother or sister in Christ and say, well, that's not really speaking of a physical body like a church. It doesn't really matter. It does. It's here. And this is what it's teaching. And then you look down where it says they were added. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. This is a sidebar now. Watch. It says, "For he was a good man," speaking of Barnabas, "full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the," does it say the church or the Lord? It says the Lord. So that's speaking of the body of Christ. That could be somebody in Africa. That could be a number anywhere in the world. That's the Lord. That's the body of Christ. But the one speaking of where we're speaking in verse 22, speaking of the physical body, the church, the people that make up the church. Okay, so catch that in our context, doctrinally speaking. So it's going to use two different ways. Now watch this. Verse 22. "So when the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas." Now watch this. Wow, they sent this guy. I'm sure he wanted to go. He was a good man. The Bible goes on to say that he was full of the Holy Ghost. So he was in sync with the church there, and they sent him out. And he said that he went as far as Antioch. So he was a preacher that was going to take maybe that position as a pastor there and to lead those people. But you see here the church enlisting these men. Now notice verse 22, there's some stuff here. We see the selection. So it says that they were in Jerusalem and they sent forth Barnabas. We see the selection. Now let's look at his spirituality. It wasn't just anybody. They didn't say eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You know, they didn't go through that. One, two, three, four. Let's pick her or him. Watch how this unfolds. Verse 23, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Now watch verse 24 explain what type of a man he was. "For he was a good man." And that's rare. I think that's a rare phrase in your Bible. If I remember right, there was a message preached on a good man. It was speaking of Barnabas. But here, the Word of God records this man as a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. So we see the spirituality of this individual that they chose or picked to send towards Antioch, as far as Antioch, the Bible says. Now we want to look at maybe let's look at his sensitivity. It's what I've written down here. Notice with me in verse 23, he says, "Who, when he came," and that's when he come to Antioch, this is Barnabas now, "and had seen the grace of God." This man was able to discern between the grace of God and maybe something that wasn't the grace of God. And he goes on to say, was glad. He had a good attitude about himself and what was going on and exhorted them all. That's a lot said in those three little phrases. And you see his spirituality, his sensitivity. Then you see his speech that with purpose of heart. So it wasn't just from the mouth or something he had learned in seminary school. He was speaking from the heart to these people. And that's one way of getting people's attention, is being able to preach or speak from the heart to people's heart. He says here, with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. And that's what it caused. All tonight, that preaching or teaching, especially from this pulpit, would cause you to cleave unto the Lord. Maybe cleave unto the Lord when you're going through a rough time. Maybe cleave unto the Lord even when you're going through a good time and God is blessing, but still relying on God and cleaving to God and the things of God. This is what this man, Barnabas, had done by preaching and teaching through his heart what God had laid on his heart. And so we see here the pastor basically reveal a pastor's criteria, selection, how he was selected, his spirituality, and his speech. And we see that this is how this church here selected or enlisted, if you please, this man Barnabas. And they had sent him to Antioch. Now we see the development not only in Barnabas, we see what happens when Barnabas begins to work there at Antioch, what takes place. Now watch this in verse 20. Let's look at verse 24, verse 25. Now watch what Barnabas does. "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." So he was looking for a partner in crime, if you please. He needed a partner to help him there at Antioch. Now watch verse 26. We'll read this. "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church." That church there is not the, it is the body of Christ, but it's actually in its context, the physical, visible body of those believers there. You say, how do you get that? They assembled themselves. The body of Christ is hard to assemble themselves physically. It can symbol itself spiritually in the eyes of God. God looks over. He purchased the church with his own blood. That's the whole world. It's all believers that make up the body of Christ. Here, again, it's using the church, and they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. There's really develops the context, speaking of people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So this is where they become to be known as Christians. Now, when you study church history or history, you go back and you look at some of those times and the early historians when they wrote, they didn't call themselves Christians. The outside world tagged them with that name, Christians. And so they first were called Christians at Antioch. You said, I thought they first were called Christians in Rome. No, here in Antioch, this is what was going on. And Barnabas, the man of God, he cultivates this. Now watch what he does. Now I didn't read these verses. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We'll drop back. I did not read this for my text, but I want to capture this if we can. Acts chapter 9, verse 19. And it says this, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. This is speaking right after Paul had seen the Lord on the Damascus Road, and he had been converted. Remember, he asked the question to God. He said, Lord, who art thou? The question was in response to, who are you? And God answered, I'm kind of backing up, but God answered, said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. You say, how could he persecute Jesus? He persecutes the body of Christ, the church. Remember, Paul was hailing people, Christians, out of their homes, out of the synagogues, and he was hailing them to jail, all right? And so they mutilated the church at that time. So I didn't think the church was around before Paul, or Saul, I should say. It was. Remember the early church, it was there. Don't let anybody run off with a sly doctrine on you and say, how about the church starts in Acts chapter 28, right here in Acts chapter 9. Paul is persecuting somebody in Christ, the church of God, which Jesus says. And so we see here in verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Okay, that's where he was at. And now if you look at, we'll read on to verse 22, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, this is Saul, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this was the very Christ. So he was convinced, because of the revelation that Jesus Christ had shown him on the road to Damascus. But we see that Barnabas comes into play and takes Saul underneath his arm. He shows up there in verse 27. Barnabas, right there in Acts chapter 9, Barnabas took him and brought him into the apostles. And so Barnabas stands up for Saul. He's one of the first ones that kind of takes him under the arm, and he's not afraid of him. He said, I believe he really got converted. He's changed. Basically, he's on our side. You know, listen to this man. And so God's going to use him, and he does. And so we see that this partner is developed, and it's the Apostle Paul is who it is. So back in our text, let's read on, and let's look at verse 26. I want to say thirdly and lastly, as we move down through here, the church is exemplified, all right? Not only is the church expanding, how it expands, the church is enlisting people like the army does, and then we see it expand. You say, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying this is a church that God blesses. If we want to sit in the pews, if we want to run with fear, if we want to run with maybe a laziness, maybe a lackadaisical, God will not bless that. God doesn't bless that. Nowhere in the Bible do you see that ever unfold, only to the demise of the person he's trying to get a hold of that's not right with God. All right, so this is the kind of church that God blesses. And so thirdly, we see in verse 26 through 29, exemplifying. That means it's an example. It's set as an example, something that we can use and look at. And so here, verse 26, it goes and says this. I'm in Acts chapter 11, back in our text. It says this, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they had assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, verse 29, let's look at verse 29 here. Drop down, it says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, watch this, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So God was definitely getting a hold of this group in Antioch to want to help the people in Judea. And so we see some things here. Let me unfold this. We see the receiving of Saul or the Apostle Paul here early on. And Barnabas was instrumental in doing that. So as we look at context, looking at these verses, we see the reputation. The last part, it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They had a good name about themselves. Christian means Christ-like. And so that's what they had tagged them. And so it's important that a church have a good testimony and have a good reputation. I have been a part of churches in my time where the church did not have a good reputation, where the church did not have a good testimony because the people that went there did not have a good testimony. And so always keep in the back of your mind as being a person who's sensitive to the heart of God, and if you're a Christian, you should. That means not only do you need to protect your testimony as an individual or family member, but a testimony of the church that you go to. And so when the lost world looks at you, they want to see how you react to the things around you as supposedly being a Christian. I'm telling you, the world will be more critical than you think you are on yourself. And so when they see you react, when they see us react or not react to something, you want to be mindful of that. That's why the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so when we go about our day or how we make our decisions based on where we go, what we do, what we don't do, the world is watching. And so they had a reputation here. You see that they were receiving, the church was, but they had a reputation and they were first called Christians at Antioch. And then we see the responsiveness. Now, this is where everything kind of ends with a lot of my stuff. We just read verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So we always like ending, what are you doing for Christ? If we were to show this church that we've been looking at here in Acts chapter 11 and mirror our church to this church here, remember this church here, God was blessing. We see how they looked at this church, how it was exemplifying itself, how it was growing and expanding. And so we look at that church and we say, how is our church doing compared to that church? Are we willing, are we purposing it in our heart and lives to do something for God? Now, that comes in three basic modes. That comes with your time. It'll come in time. I've got time. The next one is your tender, your money, finances, and it comes with your talent. You can break them down. You can break them down many different ways, but basically three basic principles there that the church is wanting to use that God puts in motion the day you get saved. And so you say, well, what can I do? Or what am I not doing? Or maybe what you are doing. How can I do a better job at what I am doing? And so you see here in verse 29, these disciples that have been taught, they were assembled, they were learning, every man according to his ability. I love how the Bible lays that out. It didn't say every man according to his financial ability to get money or to get time. It's his own ability, his own time, his own talent. All right? And so it kind of lines up with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, at the judgment seat of Christ. Every man's work, you're not going to pay for my misgivings. I'm not going to pay for your misgivings at that judgment seat. It's every man according to his works, of what sort it is, means it what motive you had. And then you've got those building blocks. You got six of them. It speaks of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Three good, three bad. And so you have an option, you have a choice. Here, these disciples here, they lean toward giving. They give of their ability, whether it was talent, I'm not for sure. Whether it was time, Barnabas gave of his time, and Saul gave of his time, or whether it was their tender or their money, it's untelling. But they give of their ability. You say, well, I don't have a lot of ability. When you boil it all down, none of us do. It's only by the grace of God that we're here, that we have our jobs, that we have our homes, that we have our health, that we have our church, that we have our community. That's all by the grace of God. Understand that. That's where we're at. But there's abilities that God lays on your heart. He'll prick your heart. He moves with your conscience in your mind to say, I can do this. I know I can do that. It might be just being faithful. It might just be praying. It might be giving. It might be giving of your time. But here, notice here, they were willing to help another Christian, and it was the Christians that dwelt in Judea. And I thought that was amazing. And we see this in the conclusion here in Acts chapter 11. This gives us a model of a church that God blesses. Somebody might ask the question, well, what would you use as an example of a church that seemed to operate pretty well? Right here's one in Acts chapter 11. A church that's expanding. Are we expanding? A church that is enlisting. Are we enlisting people into the ministry? We're working with the disciples, getting them to grow, to produce more disciples. And then a church that is exemplifying. Are we an example to the world, to the church, and to the people that we minister around here in our community, maybe even in your home or extended family somewhere? Let's all stand.